Now, another fascinating lady has come to join us here in the Trading Post in Tuam Greinne. Mary Coffey, you are very welcome and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, first of all, Mary, can you just give us a little outline of the festival for the weekend? You're a member of the committee here, and I think you're also still mayor of Tuam Greinne, am I correct? Are they queuing up to take your place?
I hope so. Yeah. Somebody said I could do like Putin and refuse to go, but I don't think I will.
So, Mary, give us a kind of an outline of the festival and the high points today and the concert tonight, etc. Yeah.
Well, we had the opening session last night at Newlands, and that was lovely. Seamus and Cleona and the tutors from the Harp Festival played, and Timmy Dooley and Tony O'Brien and Pat Hayes came to do the official opening part. And it was a lovely session, and Nuala provided the usual finger food. So it's very nice, and I think people had a good time. So the workshops have started now. And so we have five workshops. We have three harps. We have a beginner, and then we have an intermediate and advanced, and then there's a fiddle workshop and a concertina workshop.
Very good. Do you find the numbers growing each year? Is there more interest each year on the harp, for example, now, which would have been more interest each year?
There is. Now, the problem, of course, today is the weather.
Oh, I know, it's dreadful.
There were several people who were registered who were coming maybe from Kerry direction who had to cancel at the last minute.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah, well, they're very bad weather down south, really.
Yeah. So, but no, and it's you might call it a niche market, but it's nice, and we have far more for the fiddle this year than we had last year, so that's nice too.
It's a festival that has the potential to grow, hasn't it?
I think,
in my opinion, now, who's not into music, I am into music, but I'm not a player or anything, but I can imagine that it will grow. Because,
No, I'm not a player myself either, but it's lovely. It's a nice festival. I mean, the different activities, say tonight with the concert when all the tutors will play, and Marnus, of course, will join us as well. Mm. But it's lovely to hear people at that level.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
It's really nice.
Well, one of the things about a festival like that is to keep it at the size that's comfortable for everybody. But at the same time, to make it a success, which is
Our big problem in Tuam Greinne is a venue. We have we don't have anywhere. If it got much bigger, we couldn't hold it anyway because we don't have anywhere to go.
No,
So
and what about Nuala's that extension? That is
It's just it's cold. It's
very
not
cold.
Heated.
Yes.
So at the moment, we're using St. Cronan's that we can put the heat on, and we'll have that for the beginners' harps and also for the competitions and for the ensemble tomorrow. But then we're using the parish house, which is.
Yeah. Lovely acoustic
less
in the church,
ideal.
Isn't there?
Oh,
beautiful.
It's beautiful.
It really is
We
lovely.
Held a concert there a couple of years ago and it was fabulous.
Oh, no, it's just lovely. I just think the acoustic in the church is beautiful.
Beautiful.
So, Mary, can we get to Mary Coffey? You have roots in Scariff.
I have, Scariff and Mount Shannon.
So tell us a little about,
My father was from Scariff and my mother was from Mount Shannon, so they went to London many decades ago.
Yes, yeah, and you grew
so
up
many
there?
Left. I grew up in Chelsea in London.
And went to college, et cetera, there.
I did,
But you were a constant visitor to Scariff, weren't you?
Yes, we spent all our summers in Scariff and Mount Shannon.
And when did you actually move back to Ireland then? Well, don't bother, it doesn't matter.
No.
A long time ago.
Several decades ago.
Did you find it a big change coming from London to a small rural community?
No, because I came from London to Dublin.
Okay.
I couldn't come this far because I worked in radiotherapy, so there was only the Dublin Centre. So myself and a friend came to work in the centre in Dublin, in St. Luke's.
Oh, very good.
And then you moved to Trinity College and you were a lecturer there, weren't you?
I was, yeah.
So tell us about that. How did that happen?
It was an accident.
Oh, like all best things.
No plans. I had plans to be a housewife that didn't work out.
So tell us how that happened.
Well, they closed the school in St. Luke's for training.
Mm.
It was run under the college in England as a diploma course. And they needed it to reopen because we just didn't have anybody to run the equipment.
Yes.
So anyway, I got elected to do the job. So we ran it for a couple of years under the auspices of the college in London. And then it became clear it needed to go to degree level.
Yes.
The same as all the health professionals. Mm-hmm. So we entered into negotiations with the different universities. And Trinity offered us the best deal, if you like, because they were prepared to give us an independent degree, where everybody else would add us on to
Liverpool or London or wherever.
To the diagnostic.
Yes. Oh, yes, okay.
And that we would have just a year at the end as a kind of add-on.
Yes.
But we kind of felt that they're so different, and what the needs of cancer patients are very different to the needs of people going for an X-ray.
Right.
So we were very keen to have a program that met the needs of patients, if you like. Yeah. So
that was very far-seeing from you. So was that because, did that come from you working in the in the job as well as teaching the principles?
Well, I was just working initially.
Yes.
And then I went into the teaching end. But I could just see, you know, it's a totally different concept if you're dealing all the time with cancer patients. You need a very different skill set.
Yes.
So
sometimes that's lost in the, you know, when you go into a...
Yeah, it is. Yes. Yeah, and it's lost still in a lot of Europe, where there's only a couple of countries where they actually have a dedicated radiotherapy program.
Yes,
right. Yeah. And is Trinity the only college in Ireland who are offering this course?
Yeah.
But you were a consultant after that, Mary. Did you? Am I right? Did you have a kind of an extra career after your lecturing?
When I finally retired, or didn't retire. Yeah. Well, I suppose Ireland is very small,
yes,
and radiotherapy was very small until we had the big radiotherapy development that expanded the service. So I became a small to medium enterprise, and we got funding as an enterprise.
And you were leading this?
Yeah.
Yes.
To actually go to Europe and see other centres, see other schools, see how things were run. And then we set up a European society or European committee in one of the societies for radiation therapy specifically. So that then just led on to a whole other range of things in education, but also then I started to work with the International Atomic Energy Agency on safety and quality, and we did a lot of clinical audits and that sort of thing. So that's where
Anna stayed on with this. If you feel like joining in, Anna, at any time, please do. I'm not cutting this interview short now, Mary.
Grand.
But we have another lady, and actually this is not very fair of me, but I'm going to hop it on her now. But we have another lady here sitting beside me who has had a very long career in... what was your skill in
Well, my last skill was...
Do you want...
I have this on. No, I was a respiratory scientist. So I tested pulmonary functions and we did sleep studies and things like that. But so I didn't realise that Ireland was such a leader in the whole radiotherapy field.
There you
and
are.
So that's amazing. I'm in awe of you just listening to it. Because but it's a huge thing. I don't think these ladies realise just what a huge thing it is that you brought here to the whole radiotherapy situation, we'll call it, as much as anything else.
Yeah. But yes. Just for a moment, we'll get back to... Now, we're talking about you now for the moment, Marianne. What was your journey into the particular area in nursing that you...
Well, I trained as a nurse.
Yes.
And I wasn't working for when my children were small. So I went back to work, did a back to nursing course, and went back to nursing. And I was working in the... as a general dog's body. For what to
general
word,
nurse,
general nurse, all over the different places, and I realised that if I'm going to do this, I need to actually be part of some team, and I happened to do relief in the respiratory unit at one stage, and they were looking for somebody to train at the time as a technician because it was back in 2000 and well back, it was before the degree.
Same as us.
Before the degree course came in for the thing, so I trained as a pulmonary technician. And that moved on then to become a degree course in DCU.
Okay.
It's the Dublin, not DCU, the other one, DIT. Technology.
They have a new name on that now.
It's the only place in Ireland that does this course as well. Mm. One in Belfast as well. But it was so interesting. I just got so totally interested in the whole concept of lungs and breathing, and like you have to breathe to live. Mm. And that whole idea of what will help people with breathing, the different things that affect, say, from the point of the pulmonary function test, that'll affect the actual workings of the lungs, the breathing part of it. And we would do bronchoscopies as part of it. In Limerick at the time, the respiratory department did the whole, they did the testing, they did they assisted the bronchoscopies, and they did the sleep studies. So the bronchoscopies led us on into the whole radiotherapy thing, and you know the suitability of it and the biopsies. So it was so interesting. It was hugely interesting. Area for me, and it meant that I went out and I learned about breathing, and I learned about things that would help people outside of, because one of the things I found, especially with the testing, was that people would be very frightened, thinking that they couldn't breathe.
Oh yes, very.
So to be able to offer somebody something that, you know, okay, inhalers are fine, they serve their purpose, but also you need to be able to say to a person, breathe, this is how you breathe, and to know that your body will breathe if you let it, in spite of you. So it was a huge, but I was working in it for over 20 years, and then I came to the realization that it was time to move on. So that I'm very proud of is that I helped set up the unit in Innes.
Oh, well
and,
done.
So that was a great achievement for me.
Yes.
But I'm still interested in breathing. I like breathing. A lot to be said.
I'll have to go to you for your workshop on breathing.
Oh, gosh.
So then, Marianne, you retired, and she turned her hand to writing. So Marianne has had her first book published in all the shelves, and her second one has been accepted. Tell us about it, Marianne.
Well, hopefully it will be out in the end of June, the beginning of July. It will be in the shop.
How did you start writing?
I've been writing for years.
Okay.
Going to school, my ambition was to be a writer. And it has been my dream. But, you know, back in the last century, writing wasn't considered a job. So you had to go and you trained and you became something, and you worked as something. And so for me, it was nursing, because I knew in my heart and soul I could never be a teacher. And they were the two things that were, I could be a teacher, but I couldn't, I could teach adults easier than I could teach children.
Right.
But even back then I knew. So I became a nurse, and I enjoyed my nursing experience. Now I have to say, I trained in Jervis Street in Dublin. Mm-hmm. Most people don't realise that Jervis Street was a hospital. They see the big shopping centre, and there's two generations, I say it now.
They don't train nurses anymore.
No, Jervis Street doesn't exist anymore as a hospital.
That's right, yeah.
And you know, some of the things about Jervis Street, it was the first hospital in Ireland to do transplants.
Yes.
It was one of the oldest hospitals in Dublin at the time. Mm-hmm. It pioneered the kidney transplant. It pioneered the drug rehabilitation programs. I mean, when you think of the amount of work that was done in that hospital, that was from 17 something or other.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. My God, and they kept it so flipping clean. Yeah. It was like,
did they?
Well,
yes.
Anyway, that's beside the point. The theatres were amazing in it.
Yeah.
And
can we get back to the writing, Marianne?
The writing, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was always writing short stories. It was my comfortable place, my place to go to when I needed to get. So I was writing short stories. I'd, you know, send them off, and now and again they'd be published, and that was increase my idea that maybe someday. And eventually, it came to the point where I said to myself, I always wanted to write a book. And I said, if I don't do it now, when will I do it? So I decided to retire. I'd been 23 years or something back at work. And I retired, and I said, I'll give myself the year. I was working on the book. I said, I'll give myself a year to finish the book and offer it. And lo and behold, I finished the book. I offered the Poole Beg had an open submission. I offered the book, and it was taken up.
Tell them the name of the book now, Maria.
So the book is called, the first book was called A Lie of Omission. It's a crime novel set in County Clare, and it did quite well. It
was a good read.
It did quite well. And the second one is a follow-up to it. So
very good.
Poole Beg offered me a 3-book contract, so
the second
one
will
be out.
The second one will be published
out in the summer.
Listen, yeah, I'm surrounded by three geniuses. I feel totally inadequate. Well, so you shouldn't. I'm going to ask for a bit of music, please, Luke.